Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
We started a series last week. We're going to end it today. I guess I'm the only one who thought that was funny. It was so good, you know, we just thought we'd end it today. So it's a series, you know, with the cool title, the creative title of Purpose. It fits on the card. It's under your chair. That word purpose fits on there really nice. Are y'all out there? I'll lose y'all somewhere. Anyway, and so guess what we're talking about? I knew, yeah, the first crowd was a little shaky, but I knew you guys would get it. Yeah, we're talking about purpose. And we started off last week with this verse of scripture that is so incredibly powerful, I think. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And so God wants for us as his kids. He wants for us as his kids to grow and flourish as a plant would grow and flourish. And so today, just like last week, we're going to be talking about purpose, specifically, very specifically, how to flourish and grow and how to find your purpose in life. And I thought this was really, really sad. I read this. When I read statistics, I always wonder, you know, how do they get these statistics? Am I the only one, like, there'll be some kind of poll, there'll be a Nielsen rating, and they'll say, and you'll go, they never called me? I don't know how they come up with that. But here's what they said. I thought it was really sad. I read this on the internet. Here's what it said. According to one study, in America, 87% of the body of Christ does not know what body part they are. Now, if you're brand new to church, you're going, what? I don't even know what that means. What do you mean? Yeah, for the church, we're actually called the body of Christ, and so we make up the body of Christ. And so as you can guess, we're all different parts that make up that body. Some are hands, some are feet, some are legs, some are toes. I don't know. My toes are ugly. I don't know about your toes. That's kind of weird. But anyway, fingers, I mean, we all just make up this beautiful, wonderful thing called the body of Christ. And here's the thing. Could you imagine what it would be like if your body parts didn't know what they were created for? Like if your hands had no idea, they were just, I mean, you know, what if they didn't know? What if your arm didn't know? What if your mouth didn't know that it could eat? What a tragedy that would be, right? Now, how sad is it to know that there are those that are followers of Jesus, genuine followers of Jesus, who have surrendered their life to Jesus, but they really don't know what their function is. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't really know where they fit into the body of Christ. And what breaks my heart is that sometimes people think they're not worthy of, I'm not good enough for. You have no earthly idea. And so if that's the case, no wonder the church is not having a bigger impact on our culture than it is. Because we don't know as different parts of the body, we don't know how to function. We don't know what our call is. And according to 1 Corinthians 12, all body parts have different functions. So, you have a function. But could it be that as a part of the body of Christ, maybe the problem is that you've tried to find your function, your place in other places? And I think that one of the things that we tend to do is we tend to look for our purpose in our jobs and in our careers. And so we go headlong into, right? We maybe go to school and we study and then we take time to develop and we work on our skill and our craft and we want to be as good at it as we possibly can. Here's the thing. There's nothing necessarily wrong with any of that. It's just not enough on its own. At the end of the day, are you just making widgets? Which is why you can be really successful in your career. And I've seen this from so many people. Tremendously successful in their career. Only get to the end of life and think, really? Was this all there was to life? So they spent their whole life climbing that corporate ladder of success, only to find that at the end of life, at the top of that ladder, they just realized, you know what? My whole life, the ladder's been leaning against the wrong wall. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You're thinking, maybe you walked into this place this morning thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. I love what the Apostle Paul said about his life, about his call, about his purpose. Acts 20, verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim, you're talking about purpose, mattering. He said, my only aim is to finish the race, to complete the task. And I love the way that this translation says it, because if you break those words down in the Greek, complete the task, it really means anything. Paul says it really doesn't matter as long as you know what your call is, as long as you know what your task is, your assignment, your function, your gifts are. All that matters is knowing that when I finish the race, I did it well. That's living life with a purpose, and I know that's what I want for you as your pastor, and I know that's what you want for yourself. And maybe you're thinking, you know what, that's really great for you, pastor, preacher, minister people, right? You have the call. You're in full-time Christian vocation. But what about an ordinary person like me? Well, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to understand. According to Romans 12, he says that we're all as followers of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you have a gift. And as the body of Christ, we all have different gifts. And that word gifts, just so you know, comes from the Greek word charis. And it's the word that we get charismatic. So we're all charismatic. About five of y'all got that. The rest of y'all go, what? For those of you that are Baptists, you don't even know what to do right now. You're going, oh, can't say that. Just kidding. So here's what you need to know. It's a word, it's grace. So these gifts, they're grace gifts. They're not given to you because you've worked hard and deserve it. The blood of Jesus is so incredibly powerful that we get to experience grace, and then we're given these gifts. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it somehow. It's just God's grace. And he says, here you go. And here's what you need to understand. And if you don't get this, you're never going to find your purpose. It's not for the edification of you. It's not about you. It's not for you. It's not so that you can boast that, man, this is my gift. Look at me. It's for my success. I will use the gifts God's given me to be successful. No, listen, God gives you a gift. It's always for somebody else. Always. So you've got to allow God to show up. And you've got to allow him to show you what those things are, what those gifts are, what those talents are, what those abilities are. And if you don't, you'll end up chasing things that really don't matter in life. And maybe that's where some of you are. Pastor Craig Rochelle tells a story in his book entitled It about a Greyhound dog track. Now, I've never been to a dog track. I've done a lot of stuff. And those of you that know me know I would never go to a dog track because I'm too cheap. It's not that I don't gamble because I'm so godly. I'm cheap. I'm not giving my money. I'm not throwing my money away. So I've never been to one, but I understand they have this mechanical rabbit that's on this interior rail. And so they release the dogs, and the dogs chase that mechanical rabbit down the track. With a horse race, you got a jockey that makes the horse run. And with a dog race, it's that stinking, stupid, mechanical rabbit. Anyway, I think it was in Florida at a dog track that their mechanical rabbit had some kind of malfunction. And so somewhere around the first turn, it blew up. So wires and fur went everywhere, and the dogs were entirely confused. They didn't know what to do. And so some of them, according to the story, I wasn't there. And if it's a lie, Craig Rochelle told it. That's all I'm saying. But said literally some of the dogs stopped right where they were, laid down, and took a nap. Some of the dogs stopped where they were, looked up in the crowd, and started barking at everybody in the crowd. And some of those dogs literally ran through the rail, hurting themselves. You know why? Because they were confused and disoriented. And maybe that's what you've been doing. You've been chasing the wrong thing. And so maybe you've been asleep at the wheel. Maybe you've been barking at everybody else, and maybe you've only really been hurting yourself. So that's why it's so critical, if you want your life to flourish and grow, to go on a pursuit for the purpose that God, listen, the purpose that God has designed you for. It's your call. It's what God wants you to do. It's Psalm 139, that when God handcrafted you when you were in your mother's womb, that's that He very specifically made you on purpose for a special purpose. So how do you find that purpose? Well, we talked last week about a couple things. So we're going to do a quick recap. So we said last week that if you want to grow and if you want to flourish, if you want to have joy and freedom, then purpose, it all starts with, in the beginning, with just really simple, knowing God. So we went to Ephesians 1. I don't know if you remember that, but Ephesians 1, verse 17. Here's what it says. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Man, we love the spirit of revelation. Hello? Y'all, I just love saying that word, don't you? I feel so charismatic. Revelation. Anyway, I'm sorry. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But here's the reason. He gives you that so that you will know Him better. And that word know, here's what you need to understand about that word know. That word know means not just knowing some facts about God, not just knowing some facts about Jesus. It's more than that. This particular word is used in other places as it refers to the relationship between a husband and a wife and how they have babies. Now, it's not a sexual term. That's not what it means, but it means the most intimate of all relationships. And so it begins with knowing God, that He's crazy about you. God loves you so much, and He handcrafted you. And if you want to know what your purpose in life is to go to the one who made you and who wants to be in a relationship with you, and through the beauty of this relationship, then He tells you what you've been created for. Starts with knowing God. It starts with knowing Him. I mean knowing Him. Really knowing Him. And the second step, we said last week, defining your purpose is having an open heart to see. I was too chicken to put this on the screen last week, so I'm going to put it on here this week. And if stuff's misspelled, if it's not right, don't tell me. I don't want to know. So here it is. You cannot see your tomorrows if your glasses are still covered in the smudge and dirt of yesterday. Some of you may have wondered, why can't I figure out God's purpose and plan for my life? And maybe you're frustrated with God. And you're frustrated because, you know what? You've said, man, I'm praying. I have begged and I have pleaded and I have said, God, in heaven, You're the one who created me. What in the world do You want me to do? Well, I'll tell you what, you've never really worked that second step in the journey. And it's opening up your heart and allowing God to speak to you about the things in your heart that are blinding you to your purpose. Hurt and pain of the past. I've met so many people over the years that think that it was in the past. It's over. It's done. It's not having an impact on me now. It is. The stuff that you went through as a child, believe it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, is still affecting you today in your relationships. Maybe you don't trust. Maybe you don't allow yourself to really give. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you were abandoned. Maybe some of the things that I've experienced in my life that I realized it has been the thing that has caused me, has hindered me in my relationship with others, but it's hindered me in my relationship with God as well. So it's having this open heart and saying, God, just look inside my heart. Lord, allow me to see the hurt, the pain, whatever it is from my past. Lord, point out the sin that blinds me. That blinds me to my purpose. And then Paul says this. verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. Now watch this. Know the hope to which he has called you. And just so you know, those two words are connected. Hope and called, those two words are connected. So, you know, if you're going to find your hope, you're never going to find it circumstantially. You just never are. You're going to find it knowing your call. That's how you find hope, is knowing your call, why you were placed on planet Earth. And here's what I've learned, is that I have hope for the world when I understand what my call is and that I know that I do what I do. And it's not that I'm any good at what I do. It's that when God takes me as frail and fragile and messed up as I am, because I think sometimes people come to Springwell, they say, man, if he can use Scott, he can use anybody. Like, I mean, this is easy. God, I mean, this is going to be easy for you. If you can use him, I mean, I'm a shoe-in for something great. And you know what? It gives hope. It gives you hope when you look at the world. I was so thinking when we were singing that song. Oh, God. I was so thinking about stuff that we've been through as a family. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh. Karen and I are so blessed. Stories to tell of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God and how God comes through and answers prayer. And I'll tell you what, it gives you hope. It just gives you hope, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that you were created to make a difference. Sociologists have a term for it, actually. It's called transcendence. And I thought it was interesting that even the non-secular, the non-Jesus world, that's what I call it. The non-Jesus world recognizes that deep down inside all of us, Christian or not, is this desire to make a difference in the world that we live. And I have met people that say, well, I don't think I really have that. And then I would say, well, it's due to the brokenness and the hurt in your life. It's interesting that you don't even have to be a Christian to want to make a difference in the world that you live. It's this innate thing that in creation God did. He gave us this desire to want to make a difference. So I want you to know that you're here on purpose, for a purpose. It's a source of hope. Then he says this. He says, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Wow, this is awesome. The riches of his glorious inheritance. Watch this, in his holy people. Sounds a little confusing, maybe. It's not. So I'm going to focus just on that, the language of inheritance in his holy people. So here's the next step in finding your purpose. You ready? You got to find your people. If you want to know your purpose, you got to find your people. So here's what I want you to understand. It's not about you alone. It's not about you. You might think it's about you. It's not about you. It's with a group of people. God wants to make sure that you're connected with a group of people who also know their purpose. And it's got to be the right people. And then you hang around with the right people. I'm not saying perfect people. In fact, probably the more broken people you hang around, the better off you'll be. You understand what I'm saying? People that have experienced... Can I say that? That didn't really come out right, did it? That sounded really weird. Did it sound weird to you? I know what I meant. I mean, that if you hang out with broken as you are, and when you hang out with those people, and they're trying to do the God thing the way you're trying to do the God thing, that you start to rub off on each other, and you strengthen each other, you encourage each other, you build each other up, and there's this trust, and there's this beautiful, wonderful thing that starts to take place if you have your people. I would say that the success or failure of your life is largely determined by the equipment that you use. You wouldn't try to fly across the Pacific or the Atlantic or whatever ocean you want to. Maybe Lake Hartwell. I don't know. Go back to the ocean. And a hang glider. You wouldn't say, I'm going to fly across the Atlantic in a hang glider. Probably wouldn't be a wise thing to do. You wouldn't play golf with a baseball bat. Well, I don't know. Some of us may do better if we had a baseball bat. I'm not sure that's a great illustration, but you wouldn't try to fight a forest fire with a squirt gun. You got to have the right equipment. And so God has given us the right equipment. And one of those tools that we need to find our purpose in life is the gift of people. People are a tool. That didn't really come out too good either, did it? So you're just a tool. You don't get this anywhere else, I promise you. You're only going to get it here. Romans 12, verse 5, in Christ we who are many. I love this. We who are many, you know what we form? We form one body. We who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Just so you know, I've never ever considered myself as a solo act. Never have. And you may be looking up here right now thinking, buddy, you're the only one up there. Ain't nobody to blame for what you're saying but you, you know. But see, I'm not up here by myself. I've never felt that I was up here by myself. See, there's a whole team of people. There's a whole group of tech people in the back, and so they're making sure that my mic's on and the camera people. They have to keep up with me. Could you imagine trying to keep up with me every Sunday? And there's a guy up there, this camera shots, and then how to whatever they do up there. And so those people are in the back. You never see them, but they're a part of what goes on. Scripture that's on the screen goes up at the right time. You know why? Because we're a part of this body, this beautiful thing called the body of Christ, and we work together. And the worship team, oh my gosh, the worship team, are they not amazing or what? Volunteers. Volunteers, people that volunteer to sing here. And you know what? I depend on them every week, and they get you ready, man. They get you ready. And so they've already, Holy Spirit's already used those songs and their voices and those instruments to be able to get your heart ready for the message. And I think, man, I wouldn't want to get up here. I would never want to do it by myself. They're instrumental to what we do. And you know what? It's not just about them. Then they depend on the greeters. So when you get here every Sunday that somebody welcomed you at the door and there was an usher on the inside to help you find a seat. And so here's what we know is when you walk in, when you take a seat, you've already made up your mind. If you're a first-time guest, by the time you sit down, before you've ever heard a note of music, you've ever heard the message, you've already made up your mind whether or not you'll come back next week. And see, the greeters at the door, you know who they're depending on? They're depending on the people in the parking lot. That they're not just out there parking cars, but they're a friendly face, and they're that person to say, hey, you know what, you look lost, you don't know where you're going, let me help you. It's your first Sunday with us. Let me tell you what I've learned. The message and the music and greeters, you know, that'd be worth a nickel if your children weren't welcomed, loved well, made to feel safe. You wouldn't be able to sit here and even listen to the message or even engage in worship if you were concerned about what those people next door were doing with your children. And so you know they're safe. And there's protocol, and they're safe. But I want you to know this, that we have the best children's ministry anywhere in the world. And you think I'm kidding. I'm not. They're awesome. They're unbelievable. People that feel called to present the message to your children every week in a context that they'll understand. See, I'm not a solo act. I'm not up here. I'm not the talking head every Sunday. I'm not the reason that Springwell Church grows. It's all of us working together in concert with our different gifts, understanding that we're different parts of the body and how we come together to make up this beautiful, beautiful thing called the body of Christ. You got to find your people. So this is the part in the message where I should be challenging you to sign up for a growth group. Well, that just ended. And we're not starting again until this fall. See, I argued with the Holy Spirit the whole time about this whole little series. I said, it's not a good time. y'all can say, you know what, I agree with you. It's not really doesn't, because I mean, like, this should be like August. I could, I'm pumping you up. I'm getting you ready. I'm talking about growth groups. I'm saying, listen, you want to find your people. You want to get in a growth group. I'm in a growth group. All of our staff are in growth groups, and you want to find that group of people, that you can invest in. They can invest in you, and you can build relationships. And then, you know what, here's what we've learned as a staff. When growth groups really function well, it's like you don't even need us. If there's a need in a family, you take care of each other. And you do it so well that sometimes calling a pastor is not even in your radar. And it would just be awesome. But you can't sign up for this fall. There was a couple after the first service that said, we joined one in the summer. I said, well, y'all are weird anyway. So they were invited into a group during what would be considered by most people as a downtime. Because you know what we found? Is that even in the summer, groups that have found deep, sweet, authentic, genuine community, they don't know that we're supposed to stop in May. They just keep meeting. So, we'll wait till this August, and then I'll pump you back up and get you ready to sign up for a growth group. How about that? Let me tell you what you can do, and what you can do right now is you can get on a team and you can serve. And so you have these really cool cards that are right there under your seat. And they're easy. They're simple. They're just going to put your name and your email and your phone number, and that's all you have to do. And if you don't know exactly, well, what do you mean? But where can I serve? Well, listen, there's so many places to serve here. It's crazy. It's like 130 volunteers that it takes every week to make this happen, this thing that we do. And you could be a greeter. You might be a tech person. And just so you know, you can be a tech person over here, or you can be a tech person next door. What you need to understand is everything that we do here, we're doing next door. So they're doing music over there. They're doing teaching over there. And it's all relevant. It's all about them. And so we need tech people next door just as much as we need tech people over here. And so there's all these cool, wonderful, incredible, wonderful, beautiful things that you can do. And you know what? Here's what I know. And somebody told me this after the first service. They said, you know what? You're right. I started to serve before I ever got in a growth group. And you know what? I started to build some relationships with people. Because here's what you're going to find is going to happen. You're going to be on a team, and your team may serve the first Sunday of the month or the second Sunday of the month. And so we, on purpose, we do this. And so you start serving with the same people. And so you kind of get to know each other, and then you have conversations. And who knows, maybe you even do lunch one Sunday. Maybe it's a Friday night. And then, it's, you know, the fall comes around, and somebody says, hey, man, you know, are you in a growth group? Why don't you come to our growth group? We would love to have you. And that's the beauty and how smoothly it works. You can only get connected at Springwell two ways. I mean, we make it really simple for you. Either serve or join a growth group. What do you think? So let me ask you this question. Are you going to go another day without knowing God? Sorry, it's kind of hard for me to get that out. Are you going to go another day without knowing God? And I don't just mean knowing facts about God. And it's awesome. You got to know some facts about God. You got to know who He is, and you got to get into His Word, and His Word will describe who He is and give you the details of that. But listen, it's more than just being able to, you know, spout off a few big words about God. Don't you want to know Him? I mean, really, really know Him. That's why I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. 4:30, I'm up. And I love what we do here. Oh, my gosh. I get so excited. I'm so thrilled what these guys do to lead me, to get me ready to step into my area of giftedness. But I got to be honest. It doesn't replace what I do every day. I need Him. And He speaks to me. And it's just, I still, at my age, as long as I've been doing this, it's still a bigger thrill to me today when God speaks to me in the morning as it was the first day that He spoke. Don't you want to know Him? And why would you go another year, another month, another week? Why would you, if you're a follower of Jesus, wouldn't you want to know your purpose? Because some of you feel like you don't have a lot of value. And you've just bought the lie from Satan that you don't have a gift. That's a lie. You do have a gift. What is it? You got to know God before you're going to find that out. He's the one that created you. Nobody can tell you better than your creator, what you were created for. It's about having that open heart and just a willingness to let God deal with whatever junk in your life he needs to. You just say, I'm an open book, Lord. Hey, whatever you want to do. It's finding your people. And it's doing life at such a sweet, deep level with other people that they speak into you. And through all of that, you begin to find your purpose in life. God has so much more for some of you. Maybe you come on Thursday night, CR, and meet some people that decided enough was enough. Enough was enough. They said, whatever it takes, I'll deal with my junk. Whatever stands between me and God, I'm willing to, God, here it is. I don't care. Maybe you want to join some of those people. Wonderful, beautiful, honest, transparent people that made a choice to do something about the pain and the hurt and sin. They said, you know what? We've been robbed of joy and purpose long enough. We're ready to take a step toward growth and peace. How about you? Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you'd say, you know what? You're right, it's time. Haven't you carried your sin long enough? It's a burden, isn't it? I remember what it was like. I still remember what it was like as a teenager to get up in the morning after, who am I kidding? After I came home and been up all night partying. I look in the mirror and I remember as a teenager, as a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old, I remember looking in the mirror thinking, oh my gosh, you're miserable. I just didn't know God could love me. I had no idea that he wanted to be in a relationship with me. Here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that God is absolutely crazy about you. He loves you so much. And he wants you to know him, to be in a relationship with him. Intimate, personal, sweet. No, it's not just for preachers and ministry people. It's for all God's children. Maybe you didn't know that. See, God said, you've got sin in your life and it's a mess and you can't get any better. You can't be better, do better. So God said, you know what? I'm so crazy about you. I want to be in a relationship with you so much, I'm going to send my son. And then Jesus, what he was willing to do as God's son, would go to the cross. He lived a perfect, sinless life, but he went to the cross, and on the cross, he was willing to pay the price for our sin. It's crazy. Why would he do such a thing? Because he's crazy about us and he wants to be in a relationship with us. And so Jesus gave his life to pay the penalty for our sin, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. Now those are some facts. And believing the facts, that's a part of salvation. But here's a word that I would use. I wrote that somewhere in my notes. The word I would use about salvation is just the word surrender. It's more than just knowing some facts. It's about you coming to a place in your life and you say, man, enough's enough. I don't have the answers. And I'm ready to fully surrender my life to Jesus. That's salvation. I think I have the easiest job in the world. I really do. I've been doing this for so many years. People get saved here every single week. You know why? Because I can't imagine who in the world would say no to Jesus. I really can't. That he's crazy about you, that he wants to be in a relationship with you. Why would anybody not want that? So if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus and you'd like to be, every head is bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you pray a prayer something like this. Maybe you just say, God, I just didn't know. But enough is enough. My life's a mess. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness. I know what I need is you. So I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. To the best of my ability, I want to fully surrender my life to you. From this day forward, I just want to live for you. I'm going to need your help. I cannot do it on my own. Thank you for your love. Lord, I am so grateful that you allow me to do what I do. I'm thankful. I'm thankful and so grateful for all that I've been able to see in my life. The miracles that I've seen. The lives that have been changed. The miracles that I've witnessed. All because of you. And Lord, I'm so grateful that I get to do it with other people. Lord, we love you. It's in your sweet name that we pray. Amen.